right. Good evening, everyone. I want to first begin Poskim B'chvod Achsanya to thank the Spetners for opening their home to such a beautiful gathering, such a special gathering. Rabbi Shlomo mentioned so importantly that the date is not happenstance and not haphazard, but what a beautiful opportunity. We're all looking for beautiful moments, beautiful opportunities to rebuild and to be able to correct all that has gone wrong in the past. And the notion of a community, so many different corners coming together simply because we care. And very often that care is not necessarily even about people we know directly or those who might be directly related to us, but because we feel an urgency that there's pain, there's difficulty, there's struggle, there are challenges within Klal Yisrael. And the notion that we get together here just a few days before Tisha B'Av, something that I truly believe will be an incredible zechus, not just for our community, but halavai for all of Klal Yisrael. Amen. I also want to thank Shlomo Goldberger for inviting me to come and to speak tonight, and to really thank all of those who, I'm not even sure of the whole group of dedicated volunteers who are behind the Baltimore Shadchan, the Shidduch Center, who work really day in and day out to try to enable young men and young women to be able to build beautiful Bayis Neman B'Yisrael. And Shlomo, I speak on behalf of everyone here. We wish you incredible continued Hatzlacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you Siyata Dishmaya, should give you wisdom, should give you patience, you need it for Klal work, and should give you incredible, incredible wisdom and an open heart to be able to do beautiful things for all of His children. Amen. I want to share with you two brief thoughts. Shlomo was nice enough to tell me I have about 15 minutes, but he texted me before the event tonight that I could speak for less if I want. I appreciate that. And I'm gonna try to take him up on that offer. You know, when it comes to speaking about Shiduchim, probably one of the most quoted Gemaras is the opening Gemara Maseches Sota, where the Gemara says, V'kasha l'zavgan k'kriyas yamsuf, that it is harder to make one Shiduch than it is to go ahead and split the Red Sea. And although the Gemara ends up explaining that in fact it's not really talking about a first match, but rather again it's talking about a second match, but let's first spend a few moments focusing on the initial thought of the Gemara. That literally the Gemara Chazal are telling us that it's as difficult to go ahead and make one match between one man, one woman, than it is to split the sea. And most of us are familiar with the approach of Rashi HaKadosh. So Rashi says a very simple statement. Rashi says, Adam Yochid, the Isha Yechida, V'hu Mezavgan. Literally, man is one person, woman is another person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them together. So the Tosfos Shans on the side of the Gemara says, what does that mean, Adam Yochid, Isha Yechida? And he says what it means is like this. Human beings are complex. Each of us is a world unto ourselves. We have feelings, we have emotions, we have unique desires and wants. And no two people are the same. So what is the statistical probability that in a world full of people, I'm going to be able to find someone who complements me? I'm going to find someone with whom I could build not just a home, but whom I could build a life with. That's what Rashi's saying. Adam Yachid, a man is an individual, a world unto himself. Isha Yechida, a woman is a world unto herself. And the truth is, again, you can't explain how two complex individuals should be able to come together and be able to weave the beautiful fabric of a magnificent and holy life. It's a miracle, and it's no less unnatural in a certain degree than the actual splitting of the sea. But perhaps there's another understanding as well. You know, if you skip a few pages further in Maseches Sota, so the Gemara tells us a little bit about what happened at Yam Suf, at the Red Sea. And the Gemara says, this is on Daf Lamed Vav, page 36b, the Gemara says the following. Rabbi Meir said, Kishamdu Yisrael alayam, hayushvatim menatzchim ze im ze. The tribes began to argue with one another. Now there's a machlokis, there's a dispute as to what the nature of their argument, their dispute was. Ze omer ani yorei tchila. This tribe said, I'm going into the water first. The other said, then what happened? Ze omer ani yorei tchila. Second tribe said, I'm going in first. That's the first version. The second version of the argument was, this tribe said, you go in first. And the other tribe said, no, you go in first. But perhaps what the Gemara is teaching us is the following. Remember, my friends, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, v'yiso. God's command, just get in the water. Just get in the water. Don't worry about who's going to go first and who's going to go second. Just get into the water. And what happens? As we're standing by the banks of the Red Sea, the Egyptian army in hot pursuit, we begin with Eitzos and Cheshbonos. You should go, I should go, no, you should go, I should go. And we complicate what should be an otherwise straightforward process. And perhaps what Chazal are telling us is that, you know, we think that things are just complicated now, but maybe in reality they've always been complicated. And perhaps what Chazal are saying is Kasha l'zavgan k'kriyas yamsuf. Shiduchim have become as complicated as the splitting of the Red Sea, because we start with Eitzos and we start with Cheshbonos. You know, I'm going to bare my soul for just a moment. I did not rehearse this part of the script with my wife. I might be going home with one of you. I will tell you know, I remember, I'm not an old man, I haven't been married for so long, but I remember that when I entered into the Parsha of Shiduchim, I had a chavrusa, and my chavrusa said, I know a wonderful girl. Would you like to meet her? I said, sure. I called up my parents. I said, my chavrusa said he has a wonderful girl. My parents said, sure. And I know this may come as a shock. There was no exchanging of resumes. There was no probing questions. There wasn't even a credit check. All it was that someone who I trusted said, I have someone wonderful for you. I put my trust in that person. I felt he knew me. And Baruch Hashem, I could say 20 years later, it's working out well. At least for me. I hope it's reciprocal. Kashal Zavun Kakriyas Yamsuf. Chazal are telling us that sometimes we complicate things so much. And I know this is not our topic for tonight. Reb Shlomo, I'm going to stay on script. I promise. I know it's a fundraiser. I'm going to get back to that in just a moment. But I feel if I have the podium, I have to say a few words about this. Because there's another event that has to happen in Klal Yisrael. And it's not just a fundraiser for a beautiful organization to raise money to help make shiduchim. It's about doing a cheshbon nefesh about the shidduch process. Where did we lose our way? Where did we begin to think that it's normal to ask so many probing questions about someone's personal life? Where did we ever think that it's within the geder of tznius to ask a young lady for her picture before a supposed yeshiva bachar goes out on a date? Where did we lose our way in this process? So, you know, I often have these discussions with people, and I have this discussion with my wife very often. And often the answer is, you know what? It's not up to us. We can't change it. The Gedolei Yisrael have to change it. The Rashi Yeshiva have to change it. The Rabbeim have to change it. And it's true. The Rashi Yeshiva have to set proper Gedarim, which they're already trying to do. And the Rabbeim have to give the right Hadracha, which Baruch Hashem, so many are already doing. But a lot of it changes on a grassroots level as well. Everyone acknowledges that the framework is fundamentally flawed on so many different levels. But yet everyone's response is, I know, but I have to marry off my kids. So I have an idea. I'll marry off my kids, then we'll work on it. And of course, we've been saying that for many, many years. And so I know it's not the topic for tonight, but I think an important charge from this evening is we should have another asifa. And I would venture to say, it's even a more important asifa than about the internet or about anything else. It's an asifa about how we as a community and as a people relate to shiduchim. What is the hierarchy of important things when looking for a spouse? Is it if a potential father-in-law could support? Or is it if a girl is a balas midos? Is it if a boy is going to only learn? Or is it also okay if a boy is going to be a solid and stark balabas? Where have we lost our way, putting importance on all of the wrong things? And so it's easy to go ahead and point the finger about the shidduch crisis. It's easy to say more boys or more girls than boys or whatever, all the reasons that are pointed out. But you know, the Svarim bring down that Chodesh Av is the beginning of Yomim Noraim. And if Chodesh Av is the beginning of Yomim Noraim, then this is a time for introspection, and it's a time for cheshbon nefesh. And we have to really ask ourselves, what has been our role in perpetuating a profoundly flawed and broken system? Change starts here. Change starts grassroots. Change starts with regular people saying, it's enough. You know, my friends, I'll tell you, I serve as a reference for a lot of people for shidduchim. Not a day goes by that I don't get a call about a shidduch in some matter. And just when I think that I've heard everything, another call comes in. Another probing question that I could have never have imagined. Are you really asking this question? And is this really important before allowing your son or daughter to go out to this boy? And you know, a part of me is sad. I'm sad for Klal Yisrael. I'm sad for us. I'm sad for the young men and women. And I'm sad for the Ribono Shel Olam. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us each a bashert. Sometimes we're just too busy looking at all the wrong things to be able to find him or her. So tonight, I know again, this is not our topic. But I would charge, and Shlomo, maybe you could, I know you're very busy, but I'm going to add another thing to your list. Let's get a community gathering together to speak about how, you know, you can't change the world, at least not at first. But you could change your Dalai Lamas, you could change your Kehila, you could change your community. Baltimore, we are privileged, Baruch Hashem. You know, I'm a transplant. I've come to learn. I've been here 13 years, but apparently I'll always be a transplant from what the Baltimoreans tell me. This is a magnificent community with incredible Torah, incredible Kiddushah, incredible Chesed. We could affect change. We could affect national change. We could affect global change if we are willing to stop complicating things so much. Shidduchim have become as complicated as splitting the Red Sea, not because it's difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but because unfortunately, we complicate things unnecessarily. This is my first point for tonight. Let us find the courage, first of all, within our own families, within our own kehilos, within our own Dalet Amos, to be able to say, Ad kan, enough. I'm not going to answer that question. Oh no, that's not an important thing. And we affect change slowly but surely. But I want to share with you something else for tonight. You know, in under a week, this coming Matzei Shabbos, we're going to sit in shul. We're going to sit on the floor, and we're going to mourn for 2,000 years of Churban. And we're going to mourn for the loss of the Bayis Yishon and the Bayis Shein, the first and second temples. We're going to mourn for the Crusades. We're going to mourn for the Holocaust. We're going to mourn for the 6 million Kiddushim. We're going to mourn for every single tragedy up until this very day. And you know, Tisha B'Av is ushered in with three transformative words. Echa Yashva Badad. When the Navi Yirmiyahu chooses to describe the desolation of Yerushalayim, Echa, how could it be Yashva Badad? Yerushalayim is all alone. It's interesting. It always struck me. Yirmiyahu HaNavi doesn't say Yerushalayim is destroyed. He says that later on. But the first way he tries to give us a picture of the desolation of Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is that it's Badad. It's all alone. Because the reality is in life, there is nothing more painful than loneliness. Even the Ribono Shel Olam Bichvodo Ba'atzmo, when he first goes ahead and speaks about marriage, what's the first thing he says? First thing Kadosh Baruch Hu says, he doesn't introduce marriage because you have to have children. He says one simple phrase, Lo tov heyos ha'adam levado. The Ribono Shel Olam says, I recognize in my children, you see what's amazing about Kadosh Baruch Hu is he's one. See, he lives in existential loneliness because there is no equal. There is no partner. The Ribono Shel Olam is alone. But he understands that only he could live alone. Man cannot. Because the void, the emptiness of being levado, the void, the emptiness of being badad, is too difficult for most people to truly sustain. And it's this challenge that we're here to focus on tonight. About 2 weeks ago, Rav Shlomo asked me to speak at a shidduch event, a shidduch center event, for singles between the ages of 24 and 29. And I came in prepared with my notes, and I had my speaking points. And I was going to tell the girls about all the things they need to do to get married, because I'm the guru. Right? I was going to tell them everything. I had the whole list. I walked in. I said my first line, and it's a good thing they didn't videotape it, because the floodgates opened. And my dear friends, if I would tell you that I have never seen such a pained gathering. Broken hearts, broken neshamas, so many shattered dreams. Girl after girl telling me about this disappointment, about that disappointment. It became really like a support group. It became like a two-hour therapy session. Do you know what it's like to sit there? And some of you do, because you have children in this parsha, you have friends in this parsha. Do you know what it's like to hear from a young lady who is so accomplished and such a beautiful and wonderful neshama that before every single date she goes out on, she has to manage her expectations because she wants to get excited, but she doesn't want to get too excited, because what's happened over the last couple of times is that she's been rejected for no understandable reason. Or what about the girl who doesn't get set up? Or what about the girl who, because she's a quote-unquote older single, has become successful in her career, which amazingly enough for some invalidates her as marriage material, and the other girl who's not advanced enough in her career, so can't find a suitable mate either. And young woman after young woman telling the tale of woe and heartbreak. My dear friends, I want to tell you, I was profoundly saddened. I came home that night, and I couldn't concentrate on anything else. And the next day, I felt like I was carrying a huge ball of pain. And when the emails began to come in, and the phone calls, thank you, Rabbi Silber, for giving us the opportunity to speak so openly. And some apologies. Sorry, Rabbi Silber, for chopping your head off. It wasn't your fault. I'm not married, but you were there, and we vented at you. And as everything began to come in, I said, oh my gosh, Ribono Shel Olam, we have to do something different. And what do you say to a girl, as I mentioned before, who's between the ages of 24 and 29 and feels objectified every single time a young man asks for her picture? This is what we do to the Nashim Tzidkaniyos of Klal Yisrael. Objectify them, make them feel less than whole people. And then when they submit the picture and they don't get the date, what does that do to a young woman's sense of self? What does it do to her sense of pride? What does it do to a healthy ego? Story after story after story. Never did I think that in a Baltimore Shadchan event at a public group would I get asked the question of, is it permitted to freeze my eggs? I don't know if I'm going to get married when I'm young. I don't know if I'm going to get married at all. But I know that the clock is ticking. What does the halacha say about freezing eggs? And I want to be clear, I came in with like four simple pieces of advice for proper dating, not egg freezing. But these are the broken hearts of our young women. And I want to be clear that this is not just an issue for our young women. It may be more acutely felt for the young women. But it's also, there are plenty of men out there, young men struggling as well. And that's why we're here tonight. Because we're privileged to live in a community where, Baruch Hashem, we have individuals who care. We have an organization who cares. We have Shlomo Goldberger who cares. People who realize that there is no silver bullet. You know, there is no magic solution to this. The only thing you could do is fan out as much as possible, build databases as much as possible, and increase the prospects of young men and young women getting dates. You can't go ahead and ensure that people get married off, but you could stack the odds in their favor by creating the databases, by hiring additional shadchanim, by outsourcing to communities other than just our own, to be able to increase the possibilities and probabilities of a young woman or a young man finding their bashert. That's what the Shadchan Center does for the young people of our community. That's what the Shadchan Center does for us. That's what the Baltimore Shadchan does for all of Klal Yisrael. And I just want to end with a story. It's a beautiful story that's told about the Blush of Rebbe Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rabbi Yisrael Spira. The Rebbe was incarcerated during the war for part of the time in the Janaska concentration camp, which is right outside of Lvov in the Ukraine. And while he was there, he was befriended by a secular Polish Jew who was just enthralled that this pious rabbi was still keeping to the tenets of his faith, even in the most adverse of circumstances. And these two men, Bluzha Bereba and this not yet affiliated Jew, stayed side by side throughout the war. And one night they were awoken in the middle of the night by the Nazis, Yimach Shema B'zichem, the Ukrainian guards. Everyone was told to gather outside. And as they gathered outside, they found themselves in front of two huge open pits. The commandant says, okay, you have to jump over the pit. If you jump over the pit and you live, you survive. If you fall into the pit, it's done. And the truth is, the pit was just too large. There was no way to really be able to leap over it in any realistic fashion. So there are two pits. The Rebbe standing side by side with his friend, the Rebbe by his pit, the other man by his pit. And this man whispers to the Bluzha, he says, Rebbe, let's not give the Nazis this final jest. Let's just lay down on the pit, meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meet the end, and accept our end. To which the Rebbe said, no, that's not what a Jew does. Wherever there is the possibility of hope, wherever there is the possibility of salvation, then we jump, we'll try. So the Bluzha Rebbe says to his friend, close your eyes, and on the count of three, we're going to jump together. Close their eyes, one, two, three, they jump. And amazing enough, they open their eyes, and they're on the other side of the pit. So the man says to the Rebbe, Rebbe, how did you make it across? To which Rebbe responded, because when I closed my eyes, I felt myself holding onto the coattails of my father, my grandfather, and my great-grandfather. They pulled me across. And the Rebbe says back to the other man, he says, no, my friend, how did you make it across? He said, Rebbe, I was holding on to you. There are young people that are holding on to us, and we have to hold on to the Baltimore Shatran. There are young people that are holding on to us the community, to make sure that they're able to find happiness, that they're able to build a bayis tamim b'Yisrael, that they're able to fully self-actualize as husbands and wives, as mothers and fathers. They put their trust in us as members of the community to try to do whatever they can on our behalf. And we have an address that we hold on to as well. And that's again the Shidduch Center, the Baltimore Shatran of the Baltimore Shatran. There's who we hold on to in order to be able to accomplish these noble and beautiful goals. So I urge everyone, the spread is beautiful. It's wonderful to come and to eat the food, and the camaraderie is magnificent. But we're really here for one reason, and that's to give money. So I'm going to ask you to give money. I'm going to ask you to give a lot of money. I'm going to ask you to give money because this is one of the most beautiful investments you can make in the nitzchius and continuity of Klal Yisrael. And halavai nizuchus of coming together just a few days before Tisha B'Av. Halavai nizuchus of coming together during these days that are marked with so much sorrow and so much sinas chinam. Let us be zochet to come together as a community, support a beautiful organization. Halavai nizuchus of the avas chinam here tonight. Nizuchus of the beautiful camaraderie here tonight. Kodesh Baruch Hu should see fit to be mezaveg sivugin. He should bring beautiful neshamas together. He should allow our young women to find the proper young men. And allow the young men to each of them find their own beautiful and magnificent Eshes Chayil. And halavai, we should be zoche miratz Hashem in the zuchus of all the beautiful batim that will be built as a result of tonight's event. That halavai, those batim should be the zuchus and miratz Hashem that should tip the scales, that should cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to finally build his bayis. Imhera v'yameinu.